Today, we're talking about the end of the Saiyan saga.
We finally made it, Nano.
This is crazy.
This jingle has been going on for years.
Years.
Well, a couple months. But we have made it to the end of the Saiyan saga today. And we were talking about it in the reaction, but overall, great ending. Really sets up the next arc pretty well. Probably the most natural by far.
It was crazy how well this presumably transitions into the next episode. And as we know, to the next saga, which is dubbed the Namek saga.
Gonna be one of the greats for sure. Gonna be, at least I think it's my favorite before the rewatch. In my memory, it's the best.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Well, wait. So in the uncut, Namek and Frieza are two separate sagas. Are you still standing on Namek as your favorite over the Frieza stuff?
Yeah.
Damn, that's
crazy. In my head, it's two separate stuff. Although Frieza's a player in the Namek. And if they're, you know, they can combine, but I'm literally meaning if we just have to pick a small chunk, Namek's my chunk.
Okay.
After that, I'm dropping the podcast. I'm moving on. That's what I've been alluding to all this time.
Oh, shit. Here's the thing, though, that kind of like would upset me if you did that.
Mm-hmm.
There's layers to it. But the one thing specifically, I looked it up because I got curious. Guess when the Falconer OST officially starts.
When's that?
Episode 68, which I believe is Frieza Saga.
Yeah, that's a long time, man. We're going to be waiting a while for our soundtrack.
Hey.
That's specific. That was literally one of the reasons we picked this version.
I know.
Damn, 68?
68.
That's great. Yeah, that's 68 weeks for us. Max efficiency, nothing but Z. And I think most people know that we're not always on Z.
We're not. By the way, speaking of us, that's not the way. I'm Nano Jennings, and this is Key Moments.
Gotta be one of our longer intros.
If you want to watch our reactions to Dragon Ball Z, as well as many other little bonus pieces of content, you can click the join button here on YouTube. Bit of a YouTube tech. So I will say, if you want to save a couple bucks, click the link, go over to patreon.com, that's down below in the description, or just go to patreon.com/keymoments, become a member over there, and get loads of awesome bonus content, like I said, like our reactions. Now, Dotto, this is the 35th episode of Dragon Ball Z.
We made it.
And it released originally in Japan on February 7th of 1990, and then later in the U.S. as the version we watched, which is the Funimation dub, on August 11th of 2005. And it is the final episode of the Saiyan saga titled Mercy, or in Japan, Cause a Miracle, the Super Saiyan Son Gohan.
Little foreshadowing there. I didn't see a Super Saiyan.
No.
But I did see a great ape.
All right. Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I try my hand at Japanese?
Oh, go ahead.
There's a O here, but I think that it would have been over here, so we'll go with this. I think it's Kisaki.
Okay.
Okase.
Okay.
Super Saiyajin.
Yeah.
Son Gohan.
Okay. I don't know what any words mean in Japan, but if you showed me the symbols, unless they're kanji, I could confirm.
Well, tell me, what is this? Is this kanji or is this katakana or what?
Let's see here, folks. We got the bilingual expert. So those are kanji, but above it, I don't know what this specific form of kanji is called. It's not really kanji, but it shows you what the kanji means. And that first one is ki. So ki, and then.
Kisaki. Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's an O. So it's probably Kisakiyo.
Yeah, it's literally Kisakiyo. Yeah. And then it you read it right. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Hell yeah, dude.
That the little, I can't really explain it. The katakana that looks like Sue is it looks like Superman. That's how I remember it.
Oh, okay.
I still don't understand
Super
how the
Saiyan.
Have you ever learned anything like this where even though I've learned it and I understand it, I'm still not at the stage where I understand why it exists? So the way it works you said you were on Busu. We talked about this on a podcast, an app that helps you learn, but it was more just sayings, not necessarily
it's
the alphabet.
It's entirely sayings, and like it was teaching me like different inflections, because I guess in Japan culture, like you could say the same thing, but it's like if we're sitting down to a dinner versus if we're passing at the doorway, like it's two different. The way you say it,
there's a lot of
inflection and stuff is like different because it has a... there's like a formality.
Yes, there's a ton of differences. I don't even know. Apparently there's like language as well. But inflection is, it can be from anything minor, like the same way inflection is in English. Like, what are you doing? Or what are you doing? You know, it's two different, like stuff like that. But also just inflection can, from what I've seen, change like the whole thing, or the tone and how you deliver something also in a word. And just, yeah, there's a lot of crazy stuff, but I learned the alphabet and I still, all I've remembered is the symbols and what they mean.
Okay.
Literally the same as how, as a child learning English, you practice your ABCs and you would sound it out. That's the stage I'm at now. I'm sounding things out.
Got it.
And I know what the symbols mean, but there's hiragana and katakana. Those are the two I understand. And katakana is for English words. So like supa is su-pa. And then, but they both, this is what I don't understand. Again, new, not saying it doesn't make sense. They both have the same sounds. I would have understood if there was two alphabets, if it was two sounds, but they make the same sounds. There's su and then there's su, different pictures.
What?
And I, my only guess is that they want to indicate when it's going to be an English word, but isn't that just a word then? Because it still is made up of your language's pronunciation.
You're not someone who hasn't even remotely attempted to learn either of these, so you're definitely a little like going over my head a little bit.
That's my biggest question. Is just I've learned it, but I haven't learned it to a point where I understand why it exists.
And like also, you're talking to someone who gave up on Busuu, or I wouldn't say gave up, but hasn't done it in a while. So like, I don't remember everything I was learning. Let's see where I was at.
Well, Tyler, America karakimashita.
What does that mean?
Well, I guess he would. That was pretty much me just jokingly saying karakimashita is like, I'm from America.
Welcome back. Ready to continue learning Japanese.
No, wait, does it say when you last used it?
I guess it does not. So see, I was on chapter 2. Oh, I thought I had done more than that.
He literally opened it up and said chapter 2. It was lesson 2.
I'm on chapter 2, lesson 3.
Okay. Okay. That's pretty good.
Learning polite expressions. Oh, look, I was about to learn hiragana.
You were about to learn the alphabet. Wow, that's pretty good.
Okay, so here's what I had done. Konnichiwa, which was just like, okay.
Are you bilingual?
That was like saying your name, introducing yourself, developing fluency, greetings, understanding essential phrases, and I was on learning polite expressions, which I actually think I had started, but then I didn't finish, so it didn't technically count.
That's pretty good. I do want to stress, we've been making a lot of jokes, or I've been making a lot of jokes about knowing Japanese. I hope that comes off as very clear irony, because I do not understand anything.
I would love to see the last time I was on here. Oh, no way.
When was it? It shows you the date? I'm fascinated by apps and when people start getting on stuff. Also, I fixed my mic.
Can you read what they said back to me?
Oh yeah. I won't be able to understand
this. This is not a plug. They're not paying me to say that, paying us to say this at all. But one thing that was pretty cool is that on here, it allows me to record me talking and then actual like fluent speakers in Japanese can then review what I said. Can you read what they're saying?
Sadly, the first two are kanji. The last two is desu. So it's just like a polite. So all I can understand is that they were polite.
Oh, okay.
They were like saying something back politely.
But got it.
Yeah, that's all I got.
So that's pretty cool. And then I can do the same then for them.
Yeah.
Right. So like a native Japanese speaker trying to learn English, then I can be polite.
That's pretty cool. I got to get on that. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. So I really actually did like this. I did a bunch of research into it. I probably did as much time researching which app I should use as much time putting into the app that I actually ended up. Anyways, I do want to get back to it because I just think it would be fun to. I don't know. We talked about this when we were eating dinner, I believe. Or maybe it was on a different podcast or something. But anyways,
we're already crossing wires. We just got out of the Saiyan saga. You
know? I know. Yeah.
Imagine in Majin Buu, we're like, what did we say on a podcast? I don't even remember. Go on.
Oh, I now know when it was because I had a little cheat card, little note card that I had like notes written down on it for like the frequency of sound.
When you last used
Yeah. And, but I have been craving, I mentioned something about like the idea of going back to school was interesting to me, but like I'm with you. I don't necessarily want to go back to school. I'm not trying to juggle school and YouTube at the same time.
It's just like a feeling, you know?
But like, I want to learn. Like, I crave learning, which technically, I don't know how you feel, but like, I'm sure you feel the same way. But like, YouTube is it's a constant learning process.
It's fun, yeah.
You have to adapt.
That's a fun part of the job.
Like, if you were making the same videos you made 6 years ago, you would not be where you are right now, right? Like, your videos.
I would be back in KFC. So technically, I'd be back where I started.
And sometimes I've said this and my chat's been like, but you still make, and I'm like, it is, to some extent, a gaming video hasn't changed since 2011.
Yes.
But the way you package it drastically has changed. And that's the part you have to adapt with, right?
Yeah. And also, like,
we make this joke all the time, but no one's calling Final Fantasy 16 part, or there are some channels that can still get away with it, but no one is calling Final Fantasy 16 part 1 4K 60 FPS.
I love this joke because that, unironically, nope. We love that. I think we both love that era of YouTube.
We did. We did.
Fallout 3, 1080p HD, 60 FPS.
Episode 1.
Yeah. And then maybe if they were like really our personable channel, it'd be quotations. It'd be like something from the video that they thought was funny, like lost and
no
out
more
of caps.
Stim packs.
Yeah.
No more stim packs.
Fallout 3, Episode 3, 1080p HD 60.
God, I
I'm all
the
out of stims. Yeah. Again, nobody's clicking on that shit today.
Unless you are a super established channel and that's been your, and like I think of, and I guess not to give anyone a plug or not to start calling people out, but I do think of like Rad Brad, like that guy can still get away with like.
But that's like, he's that guy.
But
like,
he's that guy.
His thing. He's literally that guy.
I would never recommend someone trying to do a channel nowadays doing that. Like,
yes. If somebody asked Rad Brad, honestly, what do you think his advice would be?
I don't know. He would tell you not to do what he does.
He would probably just say,
he probably knows that he's very lucky and to still.
I wonder how he did it. That. What if he's actually like the Mr. Beast of Let's Plays? And he knows exactly how to play a game. Because he does he even talk?
Yeah. No, he talks.
Okay, does talk.
Yeah, he talks.
Who's the guy that didn't talk?
But he talks.
It is still crazy that you can pull that off. What if he's he knows exactly what to say when
what
to say
What did you
it.
Just say? What it's I say? Crazy that you can pull off no face cam, but just talk?
Yeah. But for I'm saying a Let's Play. He just does Let's Play, like long plays, right? Like he just,
like,
no
bro,
cuts?
That's your whole channel.
That's still difficult, man. It's still difficult.
But anyways, the whole point of the starting this is that, like, obviously you are learning. I think that's what has kept me so interested in YouTube is that it's constantly like right now, as we're filming this, I put out a video that's just doing kind of okay. And I put out another video that's just doing kind of okay. And when I get a second, I'm going to like dive into it and think of ways I think I could like make that video come back. And that's what makes it so fun to me. Like, I think if every video I posted was 1 out of 10, like, don't get me wrong, I would be pretty happy about that. But I think to some extent, I would feel like...
I just want to stress to any higher power, anything, like cosmic being, he speaks for himself here. If you every video is 1 out of 10, I...
Yeah, but you don't think you'd eventually get bored of it? You'd be like...
Is AdSense still working?
Yes.
I'd probably be okay. I don't get me wrong, I agree with you, it's a fun part of the job, but...
I think failure is just part of life. Like,
Ferraris
I think,
are pretty fun, too.
Would you even buy a Ferrari? You have an electric car.
Okay, you said, okay, I have an electric car. Electric Ferraris are going to be a thing, dude.
That is true. I don't know. Anyways, my whole point of this is just that, like, failing and having stuff essentially fail, I guess, is good because then if you have the determination, which you kind of have to be a YouTuber because no one's telling you to go upload videos.
You
have to be driven.
Yeah.
You have to be driven. And I don't know. That makes me want to learn and figure out why this video did bad and either try to help that video or make sure I don't do that again. And so all this comes back to trying to learn Japanese instead of like going and enrolling in some college course. I was just interested in learning Japanese. I need to get back to that. Like that sort of like drive to want to learn something is coming back.
It's been honestly what I've learned is that learning apps are really fun. Cause I don't pride myself on having good memorization. So really, whenever I'm like impressed by that I've learned Japanese, I'm impressed. Not Japanese. I haven't learned Japanese. Learned the two alphabets. I'm more impressed with the apps because I'm not joking. I did it in, honestly, a grown man could probably do it in about 2 days if that was what you dedicated your day to doing. It literally shows you the picture. It shows you a funny picture to remember it by, and then it morphs into
the
character.
So what's the app?
It's on official NHK Japan, like Learn It. It's called like hiragana memory, katakana memory. And that's it. The whole point of the app is it shows you. And I do have and have used and do recommend other apps to like learn how to write it. and just burn into your memory even more. And it's something you do have to drill. Like, I think most people can learn stuff pretty easy, but then they forget to drill it into themselves. It's the same as like a fighting game combo though, or anything. It's you learn it, then you do it and do it and do it and do it and just keep doing it until your body remembers it, not necessarily your brain. So that, but you know what it's really done for me, Nano? I'm less impressed whenever, like, I just saw really cool art. And something that's always impressed me, like with Dragon Ball art, is like when they have like Japanese characters and then you ask somebody, like, what does that mean? It's like the character's name. And I'm like, oh, the person that did this must be bilingual. I can do it now. It's like, it's not as impressive to me anymore, honestly. I learned it.
You could write out Goku.
Goku is a little harder, but I know it just because it's Goku, but it usually, or well, I've seen people use like two kanji characters for it.
It's two kanji, yeah.
Vegeta is really easy because it's literally just katakana, Vegeta.
Ah, okay.
The hardest part would be remembering where they put the space, but you just sound it out. And it's pretty, there's some confusing characters. I'm not going to lie. Some of the characters are not as different as you would like them to be. Ke and I'm just trying to remember. Ha is pretty.
As someone who has played a mobile game in Japanese for 8 years, yeah, a lot of the symbols are very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar.
And kanji is just, that's a different ballpark. I need to learn that. I'm really grateful whenever they put the hiragana or katakana above it, because then that's just like training wheels, baby. I'm all in there. I'm all in.
So what is the like official, is a kanji like official?
It's all official. That's the hardest part, Nano, is if you read, all three will be thrown at you. Again, this is from an English perspective, at random. It really makes me sympathize with people that are like, the rules of English are so stupid. And as an English speaker, you're like, not really, just learn it. But the character for ha, like the noise ha, is an H. You know, I learned that and I was like, oh, I saw it. And I was like, oh, it's ha. They were like, actually, here it's pronounced wa. Why? There's another noise for wa. Why are we doing it? Well, it's cultural. You know, I'm like, damn, man, that's confusing. It's very confusing. But yeah, all three languages are all at one time.
Is that an H?
That's sa. Because it looks like a saber. Like you're drawing a sword. Sa. And then that next one is E.
Is that ha? Is that an
so
H?
So saya. Huh? That's se. So that's sa and that's se. And those are two close ones. And then it's su. And then that's ha. But there's a circle. So it becomes pa. So it's supa saiyan.
Interesting.
But that's katakana. So that it, you know what's the greatest is when it's all katakana and I read it. And because I speak English, I know what it is. And then I feel bilingual. That feels so good. That's like, damn, I'm just different. I'm just a different beast.
I think like my end game goal though would be to truly be pretty fluent in it, because I think it's always so impressive to people whenever you can speak like in their language, right?
I think it's just really cool. Like that's why, have you ever seen those YouTube videos that always do crazy well? And
about what?
I guess I didn't say, but it's like, it's always about like, I speak.
Yeah, I watch Mr. Beast all the time. Those videos do super well.
Well, he'd probably do even better if he spoke multiple languages, because he dubs it.
He does dub it.
He uses his money to get some pretty high tier actors though.
Yeah. Cause his Spanish voice is the Spanish voice actor for Spider-Man,
which is kind of crazy.
That's pretty cool.
That's a pretty big flex.
It is.
Cause then people meet you and then they think you're Spider-Man.
They're like, wait, is Mr. Beast Spider-Man?
Take off the mask. He could play Spider-Man. Maybe a couple years ago. He's a little tall for Spider-Man.
I was going to say, I feel like he's pretty tall for Spider-Man.
Yeah. But anyway, what I was saying is videos that just communicate. And I also just think it's kind of a cool thing. I don't know where you're at culture. I've asked this question to a couple people, actually. If in the future, English wasn't a language, but it was just, there was one universal language for the world, would you be down for that or would you not be down for that?
A universal language that everyone could speak and understand?
Yes, but it's not necessarily English. You're just on board for that?
Sure.
I'm down. Some people, I'm not going to lie, I can see how...
Is the argument, though, that if you do that, then you're losing some of the culture of like...
That's what people say, but...
Some, I guess, technically, our culture would be... what's the word? Not succeeding, but like when you like give in, what's the word? Is that succession? No.
I have no idea what you're trying to say.
I don't know what the word is I'm trying to say, but basically, like, succumbing? We would be succumbing.
Okay.
Yeah, we would be, or maybe it was giving seceding. Or,
yeah, I mean, it might be something else.
I'd be giving in, but we would, like, be like,
you're making sacrifices. We'd
giving up our.
Yeah, that's why I always make sure to say non-English, because I don't want people to think I'm saying, like, if English was just
I mean, I think most people in the world speak some version of Spanish, right? Isn't that, like, the most common?
Yeah. I'd get on board. It probably wouldn't be us. This is probably a multi-generational plan. But I always just think, how cool would it be if literally everybody in the world spoke the same language?
It'd make things a little easier.
It'd make things a lot easier and probably a lot nicer.
You think?
I think so. You don't? If everybody spoke the same language, I think it'd be a lot nicer.
I don't know, man.
Because then there's no miscommunication. Well, there could still be miscommunication, but there's no, like, translation. There's no, like,
mistranslation of, like,
nobody can tell you. Nobody can. If you hear something, nobody can just lie about what it was.
Yeah.
I think people would be a lot nicer.
Those bits can be kind of fun. I was watching, we had Modern Family on the other day. And have you ever watched Modern Family?
Yeah.
And it was Jay and Gloria. And then Gloria's, like, cousin or something was there. And Jay was asking her to translate one thing, and she was saying something completely different to her cousin. Those bits are always pretty funny.
They are pretty funny. I'm not gonna lie, it would be hilarious. But so. I just want to put it out there to any world powers, because we do have a few on Key Moments, the Patreon. Mm-hmm. I mean, those guys are donating $1,000. We have it at $8,000, but when those 10,000, who do you think those are from? World government officials.
I'm not sure.
So to you guys watching, I'm down to give up English if it means, like, world language. One world language? I'm so down. Dada. I don't think it's happening either, but I'm so down, dude. I am so down. Let's get in on this on the group floor. Maybe not us. Maybe our children or grandchildren can all be speaking Earth. Let's drop the boundary. Let's speak Earth. Earthling. You don't think, come on, bro. I know I'm spitting some world peace stuff, but.
Speaking of Earthlings probably were the most important aspect of this video.
Yeah, I was going to say.
This episode.
Let me bring us in a little harder. Speaking of world peace. And races and cultures and stuff like that. Krillin got racist in this one. Krillin gets really racist in this episode.
Saiyan.
He says, where do you think you're going, Saiyan?
Saiyan.
He drops the hard S, and Vegeta turns around like, what? Krillin keeps going too. He's like, you think you're coming to Earth and getting away with that? But that, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. Somebody has to do all this damage to Vegeta before Krillin can do all this.
A theme of this podcast recently. Because I think it's just because you're playing so much Raging Blast or whatever it is. I don't know. Or you secretly love What Ifs.
I do love What Ifs.
What if Krillin actually stabbed Vegeta and killed Vegeta here?
Yeah.
So in my fan fiction, I was picturing it not. He wasn't going to go straight for, like, the heart. He's going to get, like, a leg first. You know.
You wanted to torture him.
He's going to torture him a little bit. This one's for Yamcha.
That seems a little gruesome. I'm not going to lie.
This one's for Tien. For whatever reason. Chiaotzu is the heart.
Why does even you're glazing Chiaotzu now? Why does everybody do the most impactful shit for Chiaotzu?
Realistic.
Motherfuckers will do one tap for Tien and then they'll charge up for 6 hours, punch him in the face and go, don't you dare ever hurt Chiaotzu. Is he really the darling of Dragon Ball?
I think so, man.
But I'm still, I mean, I personally think he was just going to go for the neck. He was going to put it right in Vegeta's neck, walk away. But man. Speaking, put a stop to that.
Speaking of what ifs, dude, there was this, like, absolutely crazy, crazy what if where, like, Gohan would go Super Saiyan Blue instead of Super Saiyan 1. Have you seen that what if?
No.
Krillin's in it.
Wait, is this like an actual YouTube video?
Nah, it was more of like a manga panel modification.
Oh, I have seen this what if. And I wonder if anybody else has seen that image and knows what we're talking about. Because that was a crazy image. And Piccolo he's doing a little something in the back too.
What was Piccolo doing?
You probably didn't even notice that, but he was also doing something a little fun. You had the image saved? Anyway, this episode, he doesn't go Super Saiyan, but Gohan is a big part of this episode. And honestly, well, I mean, he goes Great Ape. I think we all know that. But before that happens, Yajirobe does another thing that, to the Yajirobe fans, I was not familiar with his game. I was wrong. because he pick Vegeta's about to rip off his tail. Yajirobe jumps in, backslash. What?
Piccolo's eyes are a little red.
He's he's not the only thing that was green, you know. he was smoking up a little bit. I don't think there's a problem with that. I think it's legal in the Kizar Desert.
Just like, what the fuck compels someone to draw this?
What do you mean? They're just chilling.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, man. That's
okay. So Nano doesn't like art. Okay.
I love art.
All right.
I don't necessarily know that I like all of this art.
Well, I may have bought you a display of that, and I'm kind of hoping you put it up. But if not, I will take it home.
Right there?
Yeah, I'm thinking right there.
Dude, if you actually got me a poster of this, I could never put it up. No.
I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
It's huge.
I like the bigger ones. I don't know. The smaller ones just don't fill up as much.
Huh. So, Nano, what'd you think about the beatdown Yajirobe took for slashing Vegeta's back? Because he got
bunted. You were enjoying that quite a lot.
Well, while he did clutch up, I did want him to get... He killed a lot of Earthlings, Yajirobe, now through secondary means, but...
Yeah.
He does deserve at least this. Maybe the repeated punches to the face were a little much, but...
What would you call that? Would it be second degree?
Second degree? Manslaughter, maybe. Maybe I'd try him on manslaughter.
Wait, hang on. Let me take just a small step back.
Okay.
Did some of the Earthlings that he sent towards the Saiyans get killed?
Absolutely.
Did they? Did we see that?
Yes. Because what you might be thinking of is he also told them where the space pods were. I mean, they knew where the space pods were.
Yeah.
But he told them what they were. And then he said, and if you want to see the Saiyans, they're over there. That's where all the news reporters went. And Nappa and them had a crazy little hangout session where he ripped apart an entire Navy and a couple fighter jets.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I definitely do remember that. So, okay. Funny enough, this episode, and I forgot about this because so much happens with Vegeta, but this actually started, and you made a comment on this because we had a whole conversation about it, but would you rather have a woman that...
This is because Chi-Chi and Bulma were both in the same scene with Corrin and Roshi. There you go.
And Bulma was destroying, like... the person's things, whereas Chi-Chi was actually just beating up on
Corrin. She said specifically, I will choke all 9 lives out of your body.
Did she say that?
She actually did.
That's a hard line.
It's kind of hard when she's not assaulting an elderly cat with a cane. if she was in the like a pet adoption agency, are you like, pretty hard line there, miss?
I might would say that as like a bit sarcastic.
You know? Okay. Yeah.
Like, but not, you know.
Yeah.
And now you're going to be escorted out, you know.
Pretty hard line, miss. Hands behind the back.
Yeah. So anyways, after that was actually a very brief sequence with Corrin. And
they don't come up ever again. So honestly. They don't.
We never see them again.
My fan theory, they animated the whole episode. It came back. You know how like sometimes you send a video off to an ad agency and then it comes back with notes. They said short 20 seconds. And they said, fuck. Yeah. And then they animated that whole
thing. They're like, well, we don't want to do in between frames or anything like that. We'll just add some in the beginning.
Yeah.
So
then they drew an entirely new sequence.
Because immediately after that, we're back to where we left off. In Krillin's offensive, where Vegeta's discovered the tail. We're back to rediscovering.
Yeah, not a lot of new stuff there, though. It was kind of a...
No, Vegeta was about to... I think he was going to try to finish him or take the tail off or finish him off or whatever. And that's when he gets slashed in the back by Yajirobe's sword.
And then multiple punts, kicks, bruises. Yajirobe gets beat down.
Yajirobe gets beat the hell down. It was even crazy, too, because after he gets flipped all the way over, Vegeta goes over with him upside down, like head on the ground... ass in the air, and Vegeta just starts like pummeling
his ass. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well deserved. So much so. He was so blinded by rage that he literally, because Vegeta spent, he turns around, he's like, oh, Gohan's tail. And he starts limping back to Gohan.
Yeah.
But it's too late. Goku already told him to look up into the power star.
Man, Goku was using that telepathy or.
Gotta be one of his best hidden abilities. Probably should have gone a little higher on our most useful IRL.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess I should have thought of telepathy for sure, because I know. Anyways, because yeah, that would be.
I hope the audio listeners get that one. But anyway, yeah, he's whispering to go on, and Gohan goes grade eight.
Well, you left out an important part there.
What I left out?
The Blutz waves, Dotto.
He does scream about the Blutz waves.
The Blutz waves.
Technically, he said that last episode too, and then this episode he repeated, the Blutz waves are too much.
The Blutz waves. Look at the Blutz waves, Gohan. You'll save us if you look at the Blutz waves, Gohan.
I don't think Goku did not say Blutz waves.
Go on, the Blutz waves.
I don't think Vegeta wanted him to look at the Blutz waves. I think he specifically was trying to.
Do I not sound like Goku?
That's what I'm saying. Goku didn't say Blutz waves.
Hey, Gohan, look at the Blutz waves.
What? You know, people aren't going to be cool with us editing in AI voices like that. So we can do it once, but.
Okay, yeah, you're right. My bad.
Just, you know, next time, make sure to pay Sean Schemmel.
So I did point this out, and I don't know if you agreed with me, but I felt like. You did not just name drop like this. I felt like this Great Ape Gohan looked better than the last time we saw him as Great Ape.
You did say that. I thought it still looked great. I didn't really. Well, the last one was like chunkier, right?
I feel like they definitely drew him. I mean, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm just like, you know, rewriting history here. But I felt like they probably drew this one a little bit different because we had a little more like aged up, matured up Gohan. I mean, it's only like 6 months, but he definitely, they drew him to look much different than his bowl cut.
He was more imposing.
Yeah. So I felt like they were reflecting that with his like Great Ape transformation.
Yeah. I'm partial to the original, but I do think this one was just, he did cooler stuff.
So hang on. So do you like Vegeta as a Great Ape or Gohan as a Great Ape better?
I like Vegeta because he knows what he's doing. So it's like cooler that he's stomping around and doing mouth beams and shit.
I guess I just think that Vegeta as a Great Ape with his armor looks really cool.
It does look really cool.
Like, I just think that looks cool.
You're right there. I mean, I really can't argue. The armor also adds to it, but the armor just does look good. It's cooler when they're fully conscious and have clothes on.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. It's just like, again, the mouth beam also is a big part.
We say that as if there's so much
Great Ape to choose from.
Yeah.
Other outside of games and stuff.
But yeah.
Or Turles Great Ape looks pretty cool in the games.
Wait, does Turles go Great Ape in the movie?
No. No, I'm going to say right now, no way.
You sure?
We can watch it.
We might find out soon.
But there's no shot. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, mouth beam. Gohan does not do a mouth beam. He doesn't rock throw a lot. However, what?
There are some beams.
Yeah, Vegeta's technique.
Vegeta's technique. Again, Dotto!
Again, they animated this part really well. They clearly love this multiple key blast move.
It's so sick.
I feel like this could be bad memory. It will never look as good as it has in this brief episode, like back to back. They are giving this move a lot of respect because every time the ki blasts aren't just going straight forward and then kicking up dust and that's it. They're like bending up, coming down, awesome. Flashing light, kicking up, like, yes, still kicking up dust, but not just a cloud. It's like explosions, like landmines.
Dude, I'm telling you, that probably gave this episode for me another point.
It was good.
Alone.
It was good.
That was a bonus point.
Also, Vegeta has way too much energy. He does eventually just run out, but bro just is a nonstop.
Well, because we'd been out of energy like, what, two episodes ago?
After the spirit bomb, he was moving a little slow.
Yeah.
And now he's like fighting for his life again. So he's durable.
Because
you gotta give him that.
That wasn't even his last energy move, though.
No, it was not. It would not be far from his last, though.
Because the wiki even refers to it as a destructo disc.
He copied that shit. Straight up plagiarism.
Yeah, you said that was copyright infringement.
Yeah, amen. So much for stupid earthlings, buddy. All right.
I'm going to say it.
Don't say it.
I'm going to say it.
Don't say it.
It's better.
I knew you were going to say it. That's
he just did it better.
The fact that I can't argue because it landed is crazy.
One of my favorite books of all time, Dotto. I haven't read a book in 20 years. One of my favorite books of all time, Steel Like
Hungry
an Artist.
Caterpillar. Huh?
Oh.
What'd you say?
Steel Like an Artist. And that's what Vegeta did here today.
What is that book?
Still Like an Artist. Ultimately, with most things, especially with us as, you know, YouTubers in 2024, are you ever going to truly be unique? Probably not. I can probably find a video. Like, you think you've thought up this idea that no one's ever done. Probably been done.
Yeah.
But you're going to put your own Dada Doi twist on it. You're going to still like an artist.
The only thing that you have that's unique is truly you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think most people view us as YouTubers as artists, but we are in some weird way.
Everybody's an artist.
And so in this way, Vegeta, you know, as a, I don't know, genius in the realm of just general energy manipulation, key manipulation, he stole the destructo disc that he just saw Krillin use like an artist and turned it into his own thing that was even better than we'd ever seen before.
He literally did destructo disc. He just didn't say destructo disc.
Yeah, because he didn't need to because he's him.
Okay, you
destructo disc.
Yeah, you call it, inspiration. I call it stealing, but regardless, I can't complain because he landed the damn move. We didn't get a Krillin.
Krillin couldn't do that.
No. And why that is, I'll never know.
One to Vegeta.
Yeah. He does get a little point there.
So apparently Still Like an Artist is actually a really good book and really inspirational. So like if you are ever in a reading mood.
Apparently. Have you read it?
I've not personally read it. Do you ever watch Colin and Samir?
No.
Do you know who they are?
No.
They're always like defined as your
college YouTube, humor
YouTuber's favorite YouTuber.
Wow.
They are all about creator economy.
Okay.
They've done like multiple Beast interviews. They're good friends with Beast, interviews with all kinds of like higher echelon. Like when Matt Pat announced his retirement,
they had
a video, a 2.5 hour interview with Matt Pat.
Mm.
Multiple camera angles like we're doing today. Anyways, they've talked about that book. And I think they've even done an interview with the author of that book. Apparently it's a really good book.
Yeah.
Very inspirational.
I like it.
The whole point is that nothing's truly original, but Still Like an Artist, kind of like probably more relatable to you and maybe a lot of the listeners, but Ludwig's thing is always like yoink and twist.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about that?
Yeah, I've heard that phrase.
Yeah, yoink and twist. Like you're pretty much taking an idea. Like that's basically what Vegeta did. He yoink and twist it. He yoinked the destructo disc, twisted it, made it better, and actually cut off a tail and got something done.
I feel like the twist was just pretty minimum. He just landed it. So he kind
of
stole from...
That's the difference between a 10 out of 10 and a 1 out of 10, Dotto.
I mean, hey, I'm not faulting the guy. You know, he did what had to be done, but he also crushed himself. Because he gets the tail, but it causes going to fall out of the air and land on him.
I was
going to
just kind of gloss over
that. Well, we got to talk about the whole truth, you know. We got to talk about the whole truth, and the whole truth is that he died under an ape. He didn't die though. He didn't die. He actually did your favorite pose. He did your favorite scene from the Saiyan saga.
He did. He called in his space pod, but is so many edits have been done with that, which is just like him on Twitter.
Like they fucking jump me.
It's so good, dude. It's so good. Now one thing with the telepathy is that Goku used the shit out of this episode for real, because he used it to talk to Gohan as a great ape. Because before we cut his tail off, actually the great ape Gohan was going after Krillin and Yajirobe, and I guess his father.
He was just going after anything. He was just smacking everything. He was not a fan of things happening.
Yes, and then that's when he turned on Vegeta, and then Vegeta said, "Not today, kid." But then yeah, you're right. He got crushed. Calling in the Saiyan pods was cool. That was actually a pretty cool filler as well. Like, going to the, I'm going to call them scientists that were like investigating the
That was cool.
And like it starts moving. If you're the scientist out there and you're like, obviously they're in full suit, so they're definitely scared of it.
Yeah.
And that shit starts moving while you're investigating it. Like,
I'm running away.
I was going to say, how freaked out are you?
I'm running away. But again, as a scientist, I feel like we got to look at his overall win because they still have Nappas to study. This is huge for technology. This is great. So they should run away from that one. Wait a little bit, calm down, let your human nerves cool off, then go back to Nappa, keep studying.
Man, Bulma's like, this ain't shit.
That's what I was also going to say, is it should be huge for technology,
but
Capsule Corp can make that shit in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So nothing really to find.
They're like, we have Model 2 over here already.
How disappointing is that for Capsule Corporation in general, just humanity? It's like aliens from space just arrived from eons away. The fuck is this?
Yeah, this is some archaic ass technology. We had this in like,
this is like a tricycle.
30 years ago. Yeah.
This is horrible. That would, can you imagine?
Babies make this in
can
class.
Can you imagine if aliens came down from space and they came out with like just loincloths and a spear, and they were like, fuck. Like, that's just disappointing.
Yeah.
It's like, how did you guys travel through space, man? We can do that.
Huh.
All right. I guess it would
be. They have like the wrong info about us. They think that's going to be enough, and they get here. And
yeah. Like, they get here like on a like Gen 1. I guess the only way we as a species, instead of like Dragon Ball species, would be more advanced is if they got here on like a Gen 1 like space shuttle. Still, it would be impressive they got here, but maybe like they ran out and like crash landed or something.
So with all that said, he does make his way over to the pod, but then he gets stopped by your bro.
Krillin. This is where he gets racist.
This is crazy. Oh, Krillin looks good with the sword.
He does look cool with the sword. He looks cool, all beat up.
I'd like to see that more.
Still, I mean, he gets cut off. The only thing getting cut off is his attempt to take Vegeta's life, because Vegeta's reaction is cool, though. Like, he thinks he's dead.
Yes.
And then Goku's like, just in the English dub, he's like, we got to show him mercy. Otherwise, we're no better than him.
Which is why it's called mercy.
Yeah. I would say you're a little better than the guy that blew up multiple towns, but disagree with Goku there. But again, I know in Kai, it's more like, if he even comes back, I want to be able to fight him again. And Krillin's more like, all right, if anybody can be selfish, that's you. In this dub, it's more like,
right. Krillin did not want
he
to
did
let
not.
Him go.
He did not want
because
to let
even,
him go.
Even calls it out, Yamcha, Chiaotzu, Tien, like, they died. He didn't call it Piccolo, did he?
He didn't.
Because I guess to him, Piccolo's not really...
Piccolo's like a new friend.
Yeah.
Goku brings up that Piccolo's
he's
a friend.
He's like a work.
Yeah, he was just like a part-time acquaintance.
Yeah. And
we just lost the camera, so we might want to hurry this up.
We did just lose the camera.
Cut over to Nano.
What?
I said cut over to Nano. Cut back to me.
Elgato, no signal.
This is the difference. Do we want to reset that, or do we just want to wrap this up?
I think that was the universe's way of saying, you guys have yapped enough about this.
Shut the fuck up.
So that, of course, that leads us to Vegeta, of course, but leaving in the pod. And that's essentially the end.
Shout out to the fact that he does say, like, after that whole big speech of mercy, Vegeta looks Krillin in the eyes and said, I will be back. And when I am, I'm going to kill you. And it's going to hurt. And then he leaves.
He's going to make him suffer. All right. Yeah. So we have differences from the manga. The fight scene between Great Ape Gohan and Vegeta is more extensive than the manga counterpart, showing Vegeta giving Gohan some trouble before using the Destructo Disc to cut off his tail.
Great.
All right. The original funny dub of this episode is notable for its huge difference from the original Japanese broadcast and manga. Before Krillin gets the chance to kill Vegeta, Goku originally warned Krillin not to due to his desire to challenge Vegeta again and prove his strength in battle. The dub changes this to create a more kind-hearted and merciful image of Goku, who spares Vegeta out of kindness.
Yeah.
And then one other, the only two things of trivia. I love these episodes where it's like the only filler or the only difference is this one thing. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, those are usually the best episodes.
Apparently, Dairy Queen has a...
Huh? This is Dairy Queen?
Yeah. Hang on. Apparently, Dairy Queen has a cherry-dipped cone. And my wife wants to try it really bad.
Oh, okay. I was wondering, I was like, what did they do to get on the trivia list?
Goku claims that one day Vegeta may learn to show mercy and even sacrifice himself to save one of them, like Piccolo did for Gohan. Both eventually do come true, because in Unknown Enemies, Vegeta runs into Gohan while on planet Namek and has the perfect opportunity to kill him, but merely knees him in the stomach and spitefully tells him to go back to Earth. Throughout the rest of the Frieza arc and the Cell arc, Vegeta risks his own life to save or help the others, particularly Gohan, more than once, and even in peacetime, Vegeta advises Gohan to carry on training to keep his strength up. The trivia did not need to go this crazy. Here we go. In Final Atonement, Vegeta performs a kamikaze attack to destroy innocent Buu to protect his family, to avenge Gohan, whom he believes was killed by Buu, and also for Goku, who he feels owed, but it fails.
I still think that should have done something.
I agree.
It's still cool. So yeah, great.
But you did point that out already in the pod.
Yeah.
That does bring us to the thing we do in every episode, which is leave a rating. Now, previously on episode 34, Krillin's Offensive, we gave both of us 10s. I think I even said Kaio 10.
Yeah, it was the best episode of the series.
It was, yeah. I will definitely agree. It made my other 10s feel a little I didn't give a 10 out until Goku v. Vegeta, but it felt weird to get to Goku v. Vegeta, see all the iconic shots, and not give that a 10.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, I got to give this a 10. Now, with Mercy, Dotto, are you ready to give?
Yes. Not a 10. I'll say that right now.
Really?
Really? You're confused by that.
I actually thought you might get a 10. Dude, you're just all over the place because you love Krillin so much. Krillin got a lot of screen time, a lot of talking, a lot of everything. Bro is about to...
I'm a layered guy.
...avenge his friends, and you're like, bitch.
I'm a layered guy. So how about on go?
Sure.
3, 2, 1, go.
9.
Yeah.
I was thinking 8.
That seems a little harsh.
I was thinking 8. I think it would have been an 8 if it wasn't for some of the pieces with Vegeta. By no means is an 8 even bad, by the way.
Yeah, maybe. I feel like, yeah, that's a... I guess I never even got to the point of thinking an 8, because by the time Vegeta's technique, the Great Ape swings, the Goku call-outs, the cool Krillin shot. Oh. It's a 9. It's just not a 10. It's not the best.
Okay, let me take a step back. I felt like I knew where this episode was going, and so I already had preconceived notions. I was just going to probably give it an 8.
Okay. Well, you overcame your bias.
Gave me a 9.
That's good. That's good.
I gave it a 9.
That's awesome.
Almost as awesome as...
This jingle?
That jingle?
Whoa. And thanks so much for watching, guys.
Click on my face.
Oh my! You don't have I guess in the wide shot.
Yeah, dude. I have a face right there.
All right. Click on it.
Go check this one out. And if you're an audio listener, you're like, what is he talking about? You can check us out on YouTube. You can check us out on all your podcast platforms. And leave us a rating, leave us a like, and subscribe to become key members if you feel like it. Bye!
Whoa!